Genesis chapter 19, verse 15 through 17. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters. The Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. While he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, talking about Lot. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. The Lord will help me tonight, and I believe if you'll pray for me, he'll help me. I'd like to pull a title out of verse number 17 and preach on the thought, Escape to the mountain. For Lot, it started with a bad decision. For Lot, it started with a very, very, very bad decision. There was strife between Lot's herdmen and Abraham's herdmen. They traveled together. They begin to grow and begin to increase. And there begin to be strife between the herdsmen of Lot and the herdsmen of Abraham. And Father Abraham told his nephew Lot, he said, Look, said, there shouldn't be strife among us. Looks like we're going to have to separate. Abraham done been told by God he's going to get all he wanted. His seed was going to be a great nation one day. So Abraham said, Lot, you choose which way you want to go. I'll go the other way. You choose the land that you want, and I'll take what's left. So Lot looked down at the watered plains of Sodom. Looked down at those watered plains and how beautiful they were. How significant they were for his sheep and for his cattle and for all that he had. How good it looked to the eyes of Lot as he looked down at that plain. And then he looked the other way and he thought, that doesn't look so good. I've been given a choice. I believe I'll take what looks better for me. And so Lot took the watered plains and he cast his tent toward Sodom. It didn't start with Lot and Sodom, but Sodom was a wicked city. Because of sin, because iniquity did abound in Sodom. And day after day, it seems that Lot got closer and closer until eventually Lot sat at the gate of the city. Eventually Lot got right there in the middle of town. Though him being a righteous man, according to one of the New Testament writers, it vexed his righteous soul, the sin, the sodomy, the ungodliness, the homosexuality, the perverseness of that place. It vexed his righteous soul from day to day. Until it got a hold upon him and he could not leave on his own. Right. You see, we'll have to understand that about Lot. It vexed his righteous soul. He wanted to leave, no doubt. He recognized the need to leave. And there come some angels and some men, and they meet with Abraham. And one says to the other, Shall we tell Abraham what we're going to have to do? And so they told Abraham, and Abraham said, Whoa, if you'd find so many righteous down there, would you spare that city? If we'd find that many, I believe he started with 50. Amen. They looked, they said, There's not 50. Would you spare it? Abraham said, Would you spare it for 45, I believe, and 40. And on got on down to 10. They couldn't find 10 righteous souls down in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. And so they went on down. They said, God's going to destroy this place. with brimstone, with fire and brimstone. And while they're there at Sodom, at Lot's house, they stand at the door, and men come up to the door, and they're wanting to do their vile wickedness unto those men. And so Lot pulls them, and the angels pull Lot inside. Amen. And they scrabble for the door, and the angels put their eyes out or blind them for temporarily. And it comes time to leave Sodom, because God's fixing to rain judgment upon that wicked city of sin. As God was looking down on Sodom, the cry, the wickedness of all that had come up unto God. Do you think that God has changed through the ages? Do you think that He's changed for one moment when He looked at Sodom back then, and when He looks at Sodom today, He sees the same thing? When He looked at sexual activity back then, and when He looks at it today, He sees the same thing. When God looked upon sin in the book of Genesis, when God had a feeling about sin, when God had an anticipation about sin, when judgment rose up in the heart of God towards sin, then back then, do you think it's any less than it is today? But God is the same, and there's no altering in God. There's no changing in God. Just as sure as God brought Sodom, a judgment upon Sodom and Gomorrah, God will bring judgment upon the sin of our day. Amen. And those angels took them by the hand. The Bible says that Lot lingered. Why did he linger? He was anticipating staying there. He wasn't for sure if he wanted to leave or not. That's how tight a hold that wicked city had got a hold of him. That's what a tight grip that sin had got on his righteous soul. Tonight, there is a mountain of refuge. As they were coming out of there, those holy hands took a hold of Lot's hands, took a hold of Lot's wife's hands, took a hold of their daughter's hands. This was holy hands that was reaching out, taking a hold of their hands, and they lingered. While they lingered, they took a hold of their hands, and they began to pull them out of that sin-sick, wretched place that the judgment of God was coming upon. While they lingered, God being merciful unto them. You might linger tonight. You may linger while God deals with your heart. You may have been lingering for the last 6 months. You may have been lingering for the last year. You may have been lingering for the last few minutes. But God's wanting to take a hold of your hand and be merciful unto you tonight, and lead you out of the destructiveness of sin, and lead you away from the judgment of God. God being merciful. But then God told him it's time to escape. And he said, escape to the mountain. Escape means just simply run. Get out of there. Get away from where you're at. Get away from that, because danger is there. Destruction is there. Hurt is there. Harm is there. No retribution is there. Oh, listen, when that cloud come over that town and those cities, and when those hailstones started falling, fire and brimstone, it didn't leave nothing to talk about. It didn't leave. Somebody said, why did Lot's wife look back? There's a lot of reasons why she looked back, but I want to tell you tonight, the angel of the Lord said, escape for your life. Escape to the mountain. In that mountain, God had provided a refuge for those people. As long as they stayed in the plain, there would be a chance that fire would get upon them. As long as they stayed in that plain, there was a chance that the destructive device of this fire and brimstone would come upon them. So God had prepared a place of safety for them. God had prepared a place of refuge for them to run to. Tonight the cry is unto you and I, that God has prepared a place of refuge in Jesus Christ. God has provided a place of refuge for us to run to that mountain. Now when we run to the mountain, I want to look at some mountains we can run to tonight. Some biblical mountains. When we want to break, amen, when we want to just, somebody wants to go look at the colors. In October they'll run to Smoky Mountain. The Smoky Mountains. Amen. Used to years ago, they wanted to see the Passion play. They'd run to the Ozark Mountains in Arkansas. Oh, listen. If somebody wanted to see the West and the beauties that God's created over there, they'd run over there close to whatever those mountains are. But I want to run to a biblical mountain. I want to run to a mountain that God has done something at already in the past. I can look as my example shows me that I can be on that mountain too. The first mountain I want us to escape to is the Mount Ararat. You've heard of Mount Ararat. Let me tell you what Ararat means. It means high ground. It means holy ground. Ha ha! Glory to God. When you need to find refuge, run to the holy ground. Run to the high ground. That's where Noah in that ark had those animals in there. God had spared his life. He said, I'm going to destroy this world with a flood. And Noah minded God and built that ark. And the rains began to fall and the fountains of the deep began to burst up. And the waters lifted that ark up off the surface of the earth. And the rain began to fall. But after a while the rain stopped falling. It began to float around. But finally they began to settle in. And the waters began to go down. And the Bible says that they landed on top of Mount Ararat. There's three things that Noah found while he's on that mountain. There's three things that you and I can find while we're on Mount Ararat tonight. The first thing I believe, when he stepped off of that boat, he looked around and he saw the carcass of all those that rebelled against God. He looked around and saw the dead corpses of all those that would not hear the preaching that Noah preached. They would not hear that. And a swell of thankfulness unto God. God, I could have been that one. I could have been that dead corpse. I could have been that one laying over there. But thank God I heard the voice of God and I heeded what God said and I answered the call. And I fled to the mountain. Then Noah, he saw also, he got out of that, and on this mountain, he saw a rainbow signifying God's covenant with man. Hey, you run to the mountain, you'll see. You'll have open eyes to see of where you could have been. You'll have open eyes to visualize and view where you could have been had it not been for the mercy of God. And when you move your eyes upon off of that and just look up, you'll see a rainbow. All the beautiful colors. All the beautiful colors. I reminded you that God said, I won't destroy the earth by water no more. I won't do it no more. This is my covenant between me and man. Oh, God's covenant. When I run to the mountain, I find covenant with God. I find covenant and fellowship with God. Nothing less to do. The third thing Noah does, he goes out there and he builds him an altar. And he makes a sacrifice unto God. And there he commits himself to God in thanks and praise and thanksgiving for what God has done for him. If that mountain's not suitable enough for you to run to, why don't we find another one to run to? Amen. Or rather, let's put it this way. When you get to that mountain, you found there a refuge from the coming judgment of God. You find there a refuge from the storm. You find there a refuge from the raging sea. You find a refuge from the wiles of the devil. Oh, listen, you run to that mountain. You stay there. But we can't stay on the mountaintop all the time. We have to have some valley time. There has to be times down in the valley. That's just a trip from mountaintop to mountaintop. Amen. The next time you're in the valley and you feel like rolling your bottom lip out and giving somebody a ride somewhere, don't let it happen. Amen. Keep your lip in. Keep your mouth open praising God. Because, hey, this is just on my way to another mountaintop. I'm just going to escape to another mountain. It'll take me a while down in this valley, but when I get out of it, I'm climbing higher and going to another mountain. That next mountain I find is Mount Horeb. It's in the Mount Sinai Peninsula. I knew I'd messed up when I tried to say that word. Say it for me, Brother Jasper. Peninsula. In the Sinai Peninsula is a mountain called Mount Horeb. Do I want to run to Mount Horeb? Do I really want to go to Mount Horeb? Well, you've got your choice. Amen. You come down off of Mount Ararat. While up there, you remember you saw the destruction that you could have been in. While up on Mount Ararat, you saw God's covenant sign. While on Mount Ararat, you made that sacrifice to God. Then you went down in the valley again. Do I really want to go to Mount Horeb? I see it in a distance. My foot's on the edge of it. What do I want to do? If I turn around, there's fire and brimstone. There's the judgment of God behind me. Well, I'm going to have to climb this mountain. I'm going to have to escape to Mount Horeb. What will I find when I get on Mount Horeb? I'll find a desert place. I'll find that Horeb means desert. Dried up ground. This can't be real. This can't be true. This can't be happening to me. Amen. I come out of the destructive vices of sin. I come out of the judgment of God. I stepped on Mount Ararat. I saw where I could have been. I saw victory. I saw God's sign of covenant. Amen. I saw myself making a sacrifice unto God. This can't be happening to me. I'm escaping and I'm climbing a mountain and it's a dry place. It is dry ground. It is a desert place. Oh no, this can't be real. But yes, it is real. I remember what happened to Moses when he is in that desert place. I remember what happened to Moses when he is on that dry ground. He saw a bush of burning. He said, I'll turn aside and see why it ain't consumed. And while he's standing there, a voice come out of that bush. The voice of God said, take off your shoes. You're standing on holy ground. There's something about that dry place. There's something about that desert that says, you come on up here. I'll meet with you. God said, I'll meet with you on that mountain called Horeb. Amen. It's dry. It's a desert place. But you got to go in that desert if you want to meet with God. That's right. Jesus, led of the Spirit, went into the wilderness, 40 days and 40 nights, fasting in a dry place. And he came out of there in the power of the Holy Ghost. Paul the Apostle went down into Arabia, dry, dusty, desert land. Was that right, Arabia? No, I ain't talking about that. Later on, praise the Lord, he went down into a desert place. And there God began to talk to him and give him revelations, some not to be uttered. Amen. On Mount Horeb, you escape to that mountain. It may seem dry. It may seem like a desert, but you can meet with God when you get on Mount Horeb. Moses met with God. Moses got his instructions from God. Moses got help from God. Moses got everything he needed right there on Mount Horeb in that dry place. Thank God for the valley that God meets with me in. Thank God for the desert that God meets with me in. Coming off that mountain. You know, that mountain was pretty tough. When I found out it was Mount Horeb, when I found out that it was a dry place, when I found out that it was a dry place, but once I got there, I met God. That's more precious than gold. That's more precious than gold. I met with God. But life cannot always be lived upon the mountain. So down in the valley, I go again. But I hear a voice calling from the heavens. I hear a voice echoing through time. As Lot and his family was escaping the judgment of God. Escape to the mountain. So I look around while I'm in this valley and realize I can't stay in the valley long. I see another mountain in yonder direction. I see another mountain in yonder direction. I believe it's Mount Carmel. I believe it's Mount Carmel. I'll go to climbing Mount Carmel. I find out when I get just about to the top of Mount Carmel. That Carmel means fruitful field. Woo! Hallelujah! That's a lot better than a desert and a dry place. But can it be much better than what God did for me when I was in the desert? Can it be much better? I get up there. I see the gods of Baal. I see the worshipers of Baal. I see the priest. I see a big old altar built. It looks like a conflict. It looks like a controversy. It looks like somebody's trying to decide who is God and who is not God. I see the prophet of God as he stands boldly and tells them, look, you go first. You build your altar. You put your wood on your altar. You call on Baal and see if he'll answer. And the one that answers by fire, let him be God. I see those priests of Baal, those Baal worshipers. They dance. They cut themselves. They go through their rituals. They do all sorts of stupid things. Amen, but no fire comes. No action comes. I see the prophet of God sitting over on the side. Suppose your God's going on a trip. Suppose he might be asleep. Suppose something's going on. He won't give you an answer. They get done. They're bloody. They're a bloody mess. They're a disappointed lot they are. But God's man says, all right, I'll build my altar. And I dig a trench around it. And he fills it full of water. Water, and they're looking for fire, yes. And they pour it full, and it's running out the sides. And he begins to say a simple prayer unto God. And there on Mount Carmel, in that place that's called a fruitful land, God begins to pour the fire from heaven upon that altar. And he licks up the water, and it makes a sign to those people. And they begin to cry out, the Lord, he is God, the Lord, he is God. I run to the mountain and I found out that it's fruitful up there. I found out that God's fire is burning and blazing and burning away all the dross of sin and burning away everything contrary to righteousness is there. Run, escape to that mountain of Carmel. There you'll find that God answers by fire. You leave that mountain. Go down in that valley. And you think, oh no. Back in the valley again. Think you might stay there a while, but then you hear a voice. Escape to the mountain. Escape. Escape to the mountain. Escape to the mountain. And you look and you see mountain yonder. Oh, Jesus. Mama never told me it'd be like this. I thought I'd go to that altar and I'd pray and I'd get saved and it'd be rosy all the time. I thought that everything would be lovely all the time. I didn't know there'd be so much times on the mountain, so much times down in the valley. I thought it'd be just glorious all the time. It looks like half the time I'm on the mountain, half the time I'm in the valley. But it seemed like every time I'm in that valley, I can hear God saying, escape to the mountain. I'm telling you, there's somebody this evening in a valley. I said, there's somebody in the house tonight that's in a valley, and God's trying to tell you to escape. Escape to the mountain. And God's giving you some mountains to escape to. Some of you may need to be in that fruitful land. In your condition tonight, some of you may need to be in the desert so God can get you to a place where you will listen to Him. Amen. Some of you may need to be on a high ground and a holy ground. We as individuals tonight have individual needs. But God knows which mountain we need to escape to. But the bottom line of it all is, you need to run. You need to escape. You need to find yourself climbing up that mountain with feet as quick as a hart running after the water brook. What was it he said in the Psalms? She'll give them hinds feet. Amen. To climb those rocks and surface high upon that mountain. But then we look. This mountain is called Mount Moriah. Mount Moriah. Something's going on up on top of Mount Moriah. Shall I escape to Mount Moriah? Mount Moriah, Moriah means chosen by Jehovah. Sometimes I need to know that I am His and He is mine. Sometimes I need to know that I can have a God that chooses me and holds me tight and walks with me and talks with me and leads me on through this weary land. Chosen by Jehovah. Abraham was chosen by Jehovah. And Abraham said, take your son, your only son, upon Mount Moriah, and there sacrifice him. What was God saying to Abraham? He said, son, do you really love me? Do you really trust me? Is your faith really in me? Are you really devoted? Have you believed what I told you? He said, I'm going to make a nation come out from your loins. Amen. Your seed's going to be a nation. And Isaac is his only son. And God is saying, take that only son upon this mountaintop and sacrifice him. Oh, God's saying, do you really believe what I said? I've chosen you. I handpicked you. Do you really believe what I've told you? Abraham told those boys, those servants, said, you stay put right here. Me and the boy, we're going up on the mountaintop to worship, and we're going to be back after a while. He didn't say, I'll be back with a casket after a while. He didn't say, I'll be back with a mourning cloak on after a while. But he said, we will return after we worship. Abraham said, God, you want to know, do I trust you? God, you want to know, do I believe you? God, do you want to know that I received your word? He's saying, I do, I did, and I'll do it. Escape to the mountain. You might need to escape to Mount Moriah, the chosen by God, a place where God tests your love for Him, a place where God finds out that you really do believe what He said He would do for you. It's easy to say it with your lips. It's easy to offer lip service up unto God. If Abraham would have said, oh yes, and he went all over town and said, look, God told me to take Isaac up there and sacrifice him. I really believe God's going to bring him back. I believe I don't believe He expects me to do it, but I believe He'd bring him back to life and to stay put right there in town. I think God would have chose somebody else to make that seed out of. Amen. But Abraham didn't wink at the promises of God. Abraham didn't flinch at the word of God. But Abraham, being chosen of God, went ahead and got the fire, went ahead and got the wood, and put it upon Isaac's back, and he's toting it up there. He said, Daddy, I see the wood, I see the fire, but where is the sacrifice? I believe the boy got worried. I believe the boy got nervous. I believe he began to get concerned. Abraham said, God will provide. And hey, once Abraham lifted that knife and was going to slay his own son, that There on that mountain, he found a relationship with God. That God is true to everything that he had said to him. Suppose you need to run, escape to Moriah tonight. To a place where you know you're chosen by God, but a place where you get to the point where, God, I really do love you. And I'm doing more than just saying it with my lips. But I'm showing you that I really do love you. Abraham's test of love. Suppose you've been on that mountain. You did what God said to do. You wouldn't be willing to sacrifice everything for God, but you stepped in that direction, and God stopped you before you did. He said, I just wanted to know. That rich young ruler that came to Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life? You know the commandments. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. I've kept all these from my youth. Go and sell all that you have and give to the poor. And he dropped his head. And his countenance changed. And he was sad. And he walked away from Jesus, and Jesus was sad because he had compassion on that young man. He loved him. But he walked away from eternal life. Suppose if he'd have said, yes, Lord, and went to giving up all they had, there'd come a point that God said, that's enough. I've seen the evidence that you would let go. Of it all. I've seen the evidence. If it had said, I'll give it all up, but never made effort, then it had only been lip service. If the rich young ruler would have climbed up Moriah, saying, I'm giving it all up, and I'll be back, and I won't be hungry. And I'll be back, and I won't be without clothes. I'll be back. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. I told you the story. We sold our house. District pastor in another district where we was moving to tried to make me feel like I was an idiot, I guess. Said, young man, you don't need to sell your house in the day we're living in. For the ministry, I said, we did. Are we going to? Amen. You know what? I've not had to sleep out in the cold one time. Glory to God. I've not had to hitchhike to get anywhere for a time yet. Hadn't had to go begging for food yet. Hallelujah. Been to Mount Moriah. Recognize us chosen by God. Recognize that God meant every word that he said. God would stand true to every word he said. Suppose you're on that mountain, but it comes time, as life goes, to go down into the valley again. And in the valley, we find different people. Some live in the valley. Down in the valley, it's more water down there. More vegetation grows down there. Vegetation. Praise the Lord. More vegetation grows down in the valley. I thought about some of these new Bible versions. They're what I'd like to call vegetarian Bibles. No meat. Praise the Lord. No meat. I thank God he's blessed us that we can eat the meat of the Word. Down in that valley, there's a lot of vegetation, a lot of water, but you just can't live down there. It's dark. You're not built to live in the valley all the time. Just not created for that. You are created to serve the Lord. One more mountain we see tonight in this picture. We look at a distance, we see that mountain. That mountain's scary looking. But I hear a voice through the ages crying out,
escape to the mountain.
I can't stay in this valley. Judgment's coming to this valley. Judgment's coming to this plain. I cannot stay in this valley. I'd like for Renee to come to the piano, start playing as soon as she gets here, as we begin to talk about this next mountain, that we need to escape to this mountain. You know what it is, Brother Jasper. I see it in your eyes. Glory to God. I look at that mountain. I'm hesitant. It's dark looking. I'm hesitant. It's dark looking. But I hear that voice behind me. I see destruction behind me. I see the stench of death behind me. I hear the destruction of judgment behind me. I can't stay in this plain. I must run to this mountain. And so as I begin to step on the foot of this mountain, I see it looks like a skull. I see it looks like a man's skull. It looks like death. I smell the stench of death on this mountain. I see people gathered around there. They look like soldiers. They look like army men. I hear the pounding of a hammer beating on spikes. I hear the wailing of a thief that's just been set on a cross. I hear him moaning and groaning. I hear them walking by a particular cross that's erected upon this mountain that is called Mount Calvary, in the Hebrew tongue called Golgotha, the place of a skull. Must I go to this mountain? Or must I stay in the plain of Sodom? Must I go to this mountain? Or must I stay where there is destruction? I realize I got to go to that mountain. I'm fearful. I'm frightful. Will they take me? Will they take me and put me on one of those crosses? I see three crosses. I see one that has a thief hanging on one. I see another over there. I know he was a thief also. Oh, there's a third cross laying on the ground. Are they going to put me on that cross? Are they going, no, let me go back to the plain. No, I can't go there. There's judgment there. There's judgment there at that plain. I look, there's somebody on that third cross. Oh, maybe I won't have to go. Oh, he looks so innocent. He looks like a lamb led to the slaughter. He looks too innocent to be on that cross. But they nail him to that cross. They lift it up. They drop it in that hole. And there he hangs. He looks like the healer. He looks like the one that raised the dead. He looks like the one that they said was the great teacher, the rabbi. He's the one they said was the Lamb of God, the Son of the living God. There he is on that cross, on Mount Calvary. And he looks down at me with eyes of mercy and eyes of love through the eons of time. And he says, I am God's testimony of love for you. You don't have to stay in the plain where there's destruction on sin. Escape to the mountain called Calvary. There his arms are spread out, saying, I love you this much. Escape to the mountain. Suppose tonight you need to be on a mountain of high ground and holy ground, because you're a saint of God. You just need that uplifting tonight. Or suppose tonight you're a saint of God. You need to be on Mount Horeb, a desert and a dry place, so you can get to a place to hear God's direction for your life. Or suppose you need to escape to Mount Carmel, where it's a fruitful field, and you can see God's glory coming down from heaven again. Maybe that's what you need as a child of God. Or suppose you need to be on Mount Moriah
to recognize the embrace of God again in your life and to prove your love to Him again. Or perhaps you're not saved. The fire and brimstone of Sodom and Gomorrah is destined for your eternal soul. And hear a cry from time and time gone by. Escape to the mountain of Calvary, where there is a fountain of blood flowing for your remission of sins. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. You cannot do good and be saved by just doing good. Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. You might need to run to Mount Calvary tonight. You might need to run to Moriah, Carmel, Horeb. Most likely everybody in the house needs to run to one of these mountains. Would you stand all over the house? Would you close your eyes? Saints of God, pray. With all your heart, with all your soul tonight, pray.